The sixth word is, let's read the Bible portion for the sixth word. The Bible portion is John 19:27-30. Yovan 19:27-30. And to the disciples, here is your mother. From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on the stalk of the high plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. The sixth verse on the cross is, "It is finished." When Jesus says, "It is finished," what does he really mean? Please turn to me to John 19:30. So this is the verse we are going to meditate. What is really finished is what we are going to meditate today. I look at it in three perspectives. First, the sin is finished. Right from the beginning, in the book of Genesis, we read of a descendant who would come and reverse the effects of Adam's sin. We read of a promised seed who would destroy the efforts of sin. The Bible references Genesis 3:15. It says, "He will crush your head and you will strike his heel." And similarly, if you read Colossians 2:13-14, there also, let me read the verse. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having concealed the charge of your legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. So, God, through Jesus Christ, fulfilled his mission through the cross, taking all our sins away. So, sin is conquered. The second perspective I would like to say on what is finished is that Satan's reign is finished. Amen. The Bible reference is Hebrews 2:14. If you could read, "So that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death." That is the devil. The cross is the place where Jesus redeemed mankind from the power of Satan. Satan held men captive because of sin. Similarly, in Romans 6:32, we read, "For the wages of sin is death." But on cross, Lord Jesus Christ paid for our sins. He ended all Satan's right on us. Now we have a choice to make whom we want to serve. Those who want to choose Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord are delivered from the power of Satan. The third and very important perspective I would like to say is salvation is finished. So the reference for it is Romans 6:23. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." Sin causes death, but we also read in John 3:16, it's many people's favorite verse, "God sent his only son to die for our sins, that we will have the free gift of eternal life." Through the cross, Jesus also opened the way for salvation by breaking the barriers of sin. I would also relate to an Old Testament verse and a New Testament verse that talks about the curtain. Matthew 27:51 says, "At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. So the curtain actually represents the barrier between God and man. And through the crucifixion of Jesus Christ on the cross, it was torn. And before the crucifixion of the cross, if you read Leviticus 16, you have three processes involved in the case of atonement. One of the persons earlier told it, so atonement of sins. So if I try to go in detail, it takes a lot of time, but I can say talk about the part with respect to the crucifixion. So by crucifixion, the barrier that's actually the curtain was removed, it was torn. Secondly, in the Old Testament days, they used a goat which acts as a sin offering. That was Jesus took that place. He was a sacrifice for us, and he shed the blood for us on the cross. So he took that place. And thirdly, this atonement process happens once in a year annually, as per the Old Testament days. So since the crucifixion of Jesus Christ on the cross happened, this can happen anytime, any place, as long as it's between the God and the person who's communicating with God. So there is no more like a high priest involved, or no more like you have to fix a time and sit with God. So, based on this sixth verse, when I was meditating, I remember an old story. This I read from one of the books. This was a real incident that happened in the 1930s. A person by the name John Griffith, he was a bridge conductor across River Mississippi. John was in charge of raising and lowering the bridge so that the boats could, so when the bridge is raised, the boats can go through. When the bridge is lowered, the train can pass. So he was basically a bridge conductor. He had an 8-year-old son. He loves his son a lot. And his son is also admires his dad's job. So he was very fond of all the gears and levers that dad operates as a bridge conductor. So he had a desire in his heart to be with his dad when his dad is on duty. So what happens is his dad takes him to his job, takes his son to the job along with him, and it was a sunny good day, and at the afternoon they decided to have the lunch by the banks of the river. So when they both sat for the lunch, John realized that there was a train that was scheduled for that point of time. It's just 3 minutes to pass through, and the bridge was raised. It needs to be lowered. So he really don't want to alarm his child. So he told, "I'll be back, son." He just patted on his back, and he climbed the stairs to pull the levers so that the bridge could be lowered. When he was about to pull the lever, he realized that his son was climbing through the bridge. Maybe whatever reasons, he climbed to the bridge and he fell and stuck between the levers. So now the bridge conductor, he needs to make a decision. Many thoughts were running in his mind. He thought, okay, let me pull the lever and just go and grab my son. But he knew for sure that he has to make a choice, and he can make only one thing to be done. So what he does is he pulls the lever and allows the bridge to be lowered. And in the process, his son gets crushed in between the gears, and his son is no more. And the train passes by. There were 300 passengers, and they were all reading newspapers, having chit-chat with their friends or having food. And he, on the top of his voice, was yelling towards the passengers, saying, "Don't you know what I have done for you? What I've just done for you." So he was yelling the statement. He thought, okay, you guys are not hearing. He repeated it, but no passenger heard it. the train passed by, it was all safe and good. And this is the, it's a true incident that happened in 1930s. But in our perspective, our Heavenly Father willfully sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, for our sins. God is asking us the same question. Do you know what I have done for you? I sent my only Son for you. He went through all the sufferings on the cross so that you could spend eternity with God. So let's think about this verse in this perspective, and let's bow down for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the meditation of these words. Guide us through your words and let us know the word bear its fruit in us. Amen.